Are you searching for a way to stay connected on issues that matter to you in your everyday life? Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton for Family Talk. I hope you'll follow us on Twitter. Our feed is full of engaging content that you're going to want to interact with and pass along to some people you love. You can listen to our popular broadcast, stay informed with Dr. Dobson's newsletter, or read our blogs and articles and more. Find our Twitter page by searching for Dr. James Dobson, FT. That's Dr. James Dobson, FT. I think you'll be glad you did.
Today on Family Talk.
You are listening to Family Talk, a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and I am so glad you've joined us today. In just a few moments, you're going to hear the conclusion of Dr. Dobson's classic conversation with Ken Eldred. Ken is an author and an effective entrepreneur. In fact, he started many companies and grew them into successful, multi-million dollar organizations. However, despite his business acumen, Ken shared with us yesterday how his climb up the corporate ladder felt meaningless. He realized his true calling and purpose when he decided to follow Jesus. Ken explained how his habits and ethics completely changed after becoming a Christian.
We talk about the word integrity. Typically, people think integrity is a sense of being righteous, and that is a definition of integrity, but that's not the meaning of integrity in the Word of God. It's wholeness, and the thing that he loved about Job, and he said it twice, is he was a man of integrity. And in Proverbs, it says, a righteous man walks in his integrity. There is a righteousness, but there's also a purpose for every man and every woman. And when we discover what that purpose is, it says that our children will be blessed. Too many people, and I was one of them, who was neither walking in truth or integrity in the sense of where I was supposed to be.
Today, Ken Eldred and Dr. Dobson will address the concept of workaholism and retirement and the dangers of technology as well. Ken also expresses how God remained faithful through times of insecurity and financial desperation. Here now is the second part of this conversation on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
For over 20 years, Ken Eldred has served as CEO of NMAC, and that's a public company that he founded. And he's also assisted in the founding of several other successful companies. He's even written a number of books on the topic, including God is at Work, and another book that has just been released called The Integrated Life. Ken, I'm so glad that you could be with us for another day, because I think what you have to say about priorities is vitally important to families.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, Ken, we heard last time some amazing stories of things that the Lord did for you. And when you founded your first company and you were on the edge of a cliff and you just received one miracle after another, and then how you had an awakening to the fact that you needed to commit to a 40-hour work week, not because it was a magical number, but because that was the amount of time that you could give to your work and still have sufficient time left over for your family and for your friends and for other responsibilities and activities. But that was a real test of your faith. You told us privately that you even had quite a struggle with this issue for a while, where you really had to trust the Lord because he wanted you to do it his way, and you had your own ideas about it.
Absolutely. I mean, we went through some really interesting times. I went through a lot of tests, and we all go through tests. Back when we were doing a few hundred dollars a day, back in the beginning, we had a little bit of an inventory. We didn't have much. We didn't have a lot of money. We had these tear-proof envelopes. So I opened this box of these envelopes with one of these X-Acto knives, and as I was doing that, I cut a third of this inventory. Well, this was 5% of our money, and I just didn't have the courage to take them out of the inventory. So I left them there. Started getting some orders, and one day got an order for envelopes. And you can imagine what I sent to the customer. And I didn't even think about it. I just sent them off and then the following Monday, normally, which was our strongest day, we had a couple phone calls and no orders. And the next day, you know, as a direct mail company. We didn't even get any junk mail. I mean, I was really disappointed. I didn't understand. And then the following day, there was no calls at all. I mean, nothing. And I went home that night and I said, Roberta, there's something wrong. I think God's trying to get my attention. I don't know what it is. And she said, well, let's pray about it. And we got in bed. We started praying about it. And I had put my head on the pillow. And the second I lay my head down, I sat up and it's those envelopes. I cheated my customer and I was wrong before God. And so I vowed right then, the first thing I'd do in the morning was go back to my office and apologize to my employees. Well, they'd never seen anything like that before. But, you know, went right to the office, pulled out those bad envelopes, threw them in a pile where I could use them, pulled out some new ones, wrote the letter to the customer apologizing for my error, said, keep the old ones and take these new ones. You know, I hadn't put that in the box and set it out for shipment that day when the phones began to ring. Thursday was normally our worst day. We met it the entire week that day. And God said to me, if I can't trust you, Ken, in the little things, how can I trust you with big things? You know, as he says in the parable of the talents.
What does burnout in business look like?
Oh, it's a horrible thing. When people get burned out, they lose their will, they lose their desires, they lose their ability to focus on the task. Oftentimes, they get to a point where they're incapable of actually doing the day-to-day work they're supposed to do. And I used to tell them that that was the biggest danger of working way too many hours, because about the time they're really valuable and capable of making good decisions, they burn themselves out. You know, we need the time to relax. We need the time to get away. We need the time to be. I mean, even Jesus, he had 3 years to accomplish the outrageous. And yet even he went off by himself to be with God every day. He found the time, you know, because he said the work is one thing, but the adoration of the Father, the relationship with him, the relationship with my immediate family, if you wish, those were important to me. You know, when somebody says 70 hours a week, I mean, or 60 hours or 50 hours or whatever those numbers are, so how much of the time is wasted reading emails that are irrelevant? You know, I look at things and I look at everything that's on my list and I say, is this really advancing what my responsibility is? Does this really do what needs to be done? I've never seen a manager, you know, in an organization that I've been involved with, who was not delighted with the results, regardless of the hours. It's not about hours. It's about what they accomplish.
Ken, you would have no way of knowing how relevant what you're talking about here is to the whole team of Family Talk. We started this ministry on a shoestring with too few people and too little money, and everybody working too hard. But this conversation today emphasizes it even more. We have to find a way to do it in a reasonable way.
You come back to this 40 hours a week, if I may, and the point is, you know, once that's set, you know, and it may be, I mean, it may not be 40 hours for you, it may be something else. My kids were, my youngest was born the month I started the company. So, you know, the needs are always a little bit different, but for the most part, the process is the same. And whether your work life is for ministry or for its business, it has to be limited based on the other areas that have to be important. And it's hard to keep that it's not just a balance, but it's a total integration. You know, so what that meant was that if it's going to be 40 hours, then what do I have to do and what can I ignore? The image I had, and I just want to quit with this, is that when God found Abraham, where was he? He was relaxing under the terebinth tree. You know, he was one of the most successful business guys in the world. You know, and he had time to stop. And if he could stop, we can too.
Now, Ken, it's not a legalistic thing, though, is it? I mean, No. There's nothing in the Scripture that says 40 hours and not 40 hours and 30 minutes. You want to find God's will for you. We're talking to people right now that we're frustrating. We're talking to physicians who have patience, and they have to make rounds in the morning and make rounds at night, and they're doing the best they can to keep up with all this, or dentists or lawyers or others who are very oppressed. And until the Lord opens the door for changing that, it is going to be very difficult. But you're not trying to dump guilt on them.
Not at all. There's
a principle here that says work is not everything. And your family and your relationship with the Lord and your church and other things have to be taken into consideration too.
Absolutely. What the 40 hours for me, and it may be 50 for somebody else, maybe some other number for someone else, because the Lord says we walk in our own integrity, in the integrity that He has given to us, you know, and the work that we've been given. But the danger is deluding ourselves and saying this is work that we're doing for God so we can go beyond the limits. And that's when we get in trouble. That's when we burn ourselves out. That's when we lose the joy of the Lord. That's where we lose our focus. And what I'm suggesting, though, is that by limiting our time, we have to get really creative on how we use our time and what we don't do.
Ken, what about retirement? How do you see retirement? That word's not used in the scripture.
Yeah, how do you spell that?
I don't know, but I've had to deal with it recently. When I left Focus on the Family, everybody thought I was going to retire. And as long as I'm healthy and motivated and the Lord is talking to me about what's next, I just didn't feel good about doing that. And I haven't done it and don't plan to do it until something changes.
I don't either. I don't see where that's in the scripture. I don't see where we have a 65-year-old mandate or anything else. I mean, Moses went to work at the age 80. That's when he started. You know? So, it's not about age. And in fact, the wonderful thing about God is that, I mean, most people want to retire because they tend to get into a rut. And life tends to be, you know, normalized, and we do this because it's easier, it's more predictable, we like tradition, we like comfort. You know, dealing with God is not comfortable. You know, doing the things that God calls us to is not always comfortable, and learning, because He chastens those whom He loves, is not always comfortable. I mean, I don't enjoy it all the time, you know, and yet He does the outrageous with us. If we just give him half a chance, how could anybody retire from the outrageous?
Ken, explain what it is, the compartmentalized life.
It's a great question. I talk about it in this new book. It's called The Integrated Life. People look at life in compartments. It's much easier that way because I have my business life over here, or my work life, whatever that is. And then I've got my family life, and then I've got my church life. And I need to have inputs into every one of these. And the problem is that people live these disintegrated lives and end up putting 100% over here, 100% here, 100% here. Well, add it up, it's 300%. I mean, it's the key to burnout. You know, when we realize that what we do is for God and that it's not about accomplishing this objective but God's objectives, you know, in every area of our lives, all of this stuff starts coming back together again into one simple whole.
What is new technology doing to the workplace and to the people who are employed there?
That's a great question. It's invading our lives and is in danger of taking over our lives. You know, technology is neutral. It's not a good thing or a bad thing. It does help us do everything, but it seeps into our lives. I mean, I find myself doing emails at times that I need to be focusing on other things because it's easy, it's available. We have to learn to shut it off. You know, we have to learn to operate in a new environment because things have significantly changed. And with God and with an integrated life, it's constantly a battle of integration and removal of things that are irrelevant. Technology's great. We can find things that we've never seen before. We can do things we've never done before, but it also has the danger of completely impacting our lives in negative ways. So we have to watch it very carefully.
In a conversation you and I had, Ken, you referred to something you called the outrageousness of God. Explain what you were talking about.
In 1980s, we originally started this company on a shoestring, if you remember the story. We had very few dollars.
I know the feeling.
And we didn't, you know, I said, Lord, I don't know how we're going to fund this because growth takes funding. Well, you know, we got going, we got busy, and 10 years passed. And in 1986, we decided that we were going to take our company public. And ultimately, the date was set. And we're in New York. My wife, my partner and his wife, and we're waiting for the first, that morning, we're going to see at the bell, they're going to start trading our stock. And we're very, very excited. 9 o'clock comes rolling around, and I asked one of the managers of the trades, you know, of our trading activity. He says, what's happening? And he said, well, nothing's happened yet. I said, well, why not? And he said, well, I don't know. About 9:30 that in the morning in New York, my lawyer calls me, and he says, out of California, he says, I've just been on the phone with the SEC. They say they need a letter on my stationery explaining why you need the money because you're so well-funded. And not only does he need that, but he said in those days, you know, he would accept a fax, but they had a centralized fax machine. And of course, you didn't have letterhead on your computer. And you didn't even have computers at home. They were at work. And he said, I'm going to get into my office. I'm going to try to get this letter out by 8:30 in the morning, which would be 11:30 East Coast time. Well, that's not a problem. Except in those days, the government was shutting down at noon on certain Fridays. And this was Friday, October 10th, and they were closing at noon. And the SEC said to our lawyer, says, look, you know, if you send that thing off to me, he says, go ahead, but, you know, it takes more than 15 minutes for the mail boy to deliver the fax up to my office. It's going to be noon. I'm going home. You'll have to do another week. Well, the people on that are managing our public offering are saying the market is really choppy. Things don't look good. If we don't get out today, it's going to be at least 12 weeks. And basically, that means starting over, all the expense, all of that. Wow. You know, and it has to be dealt with. So it's now a quarter of 12. And I said to the manager, is there a room where a conference room or something where Roberta and I can go and sit down and pray? And we were laying out before God this problem. And we hadn't been at it more than 5 minutes when the loudspeaker comes on and it says, the United States government has decided to stay open one more hour.
No.
Our public offering was approved by the SEC at 12:03 on October 10th, 1986. God did the outrageous.
Oh, my goodness.
So we'd asked him to solve this problem for us. You know, and why is he willing to do that with – I mean, he did this for me. Why is God interested in doing the outrageous? And why does he want you to take your business, your faith to work? Well, there are two answers. Number one, God wants to do the outrageous in your life because he's already done the most outrageous thing he could ever do for you.
But
he died on the
Jesus.
Cross.
Yeah.
Jesus died for you. And if he's done that, why would he stop there?
Yeah.
You know, he wants to do more. That's the most outrageous thing. All the things that have happened in my life that seem like miracles, they're nothing compared to what he has done.
And now, you are talking to people right now, as you know, in this down economy who have gone bankrupt, who have prayed, and the Lord allowed that financial disaster to occur. How do you deal with that? Not everybody has experienced the kind of thing you're talking about.
We sold the company in 1996. I was asked by the buying company if I wouldn't be willing to hold on to my shares for a period of some months in order to facilitate the transition because I had a lot of shares that would end up in this company. I told them, absolutely, I'll do that. No hurry, you know, even though it was my net worth was tied up here.
Yes.
During the period that this took place, that company announced a $100 million inventory write down. Their stock went from 48, which is what we exchanged our shares on, to 4. My entire net worth wiped out in a 24-hour period. I was in a catatonic state. I mean, really, I thought, here I am. I'm going to have to start over. And I could not get out of this funk. My wife was worried about me. Roberta she went outside and she began to pray. And she said, Lord, I'm really worried about Ken. He just doesn't seem to be, he's just, I mean, like many of these people who have just lost everything,
yeah.
you know, where's God? You know, what's happening here? And as she prayed on that hillside, the Lord said to her, he said, Ken has inquired of me. I know his heart, and I will fill in the voids. She said, what? She didn't talk that way. I mean, this is not her speaking.
Yeah.
She didn't use those words. And she came in the house, ran upstairs, and she said, Ken, I just got a word from the Lord. And she told me this word. And nothing had changed, but all of a sudden my countenance was different. I knew God was still there. I knew God still loved me. And it didn't matter what happened after that. Well, it wasn't long after that that I started a new company that went from zero to a valuation of $40 billion. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually made more money in that period than I did in the 20 years previous. And it wasn't about making money. I mean, I want to give this to God's work. That's what I've been doing with my money. That's what God has in mind. It's about God's faithfulness. You know, and if I can encourage people to go back to his word, to read the promises that he gives us, you know, I'm thinking of Isaiah 32, 17 and 18, you know, where God promises in times like this, where the city is torn apart, where the fires burn, he said, I will bless your seed. And I will make sure that your flocks graze peacefully and you will be at rest. We have to buy these. We have to understand these promises.
Well, that's very encouraging to me and I'm sure to my colleagues here. You and I are blessed by having praying wives.
Amen.
And you talk about a gift. And Shirley has been on her knees for us. And I am just so grateful for that. Ken, this has been such an uplifting discussion about business, about turning it over to the Lord and depending on him and letting him lead, even when he sometimes gives answers that you hadn't anticipated and didn't really want. He's in it anyway, and you just remain faithful.
Amen. Amen.
All right. You've written three books. I have one of them in front of me called God is at Work. Tell me the other two.
It's the first one is on kingdom business, and this last one is the integrated life, you know, experiencing the power of God in our work and our business.
You love the Lord, don't you?
I do. Amen.
With all your heart.
He has been my Savior, my direction, my peace, my joy.
Well, it's a pleasure to get better acquainted with you, and let's continue the relationship. And is there a last thing you want to say to the businessman or businesswoman out there who has it all out of control and has been feeling that but doesn't have any idea how to deal with it?
My experience is when I feel that way, it's because I'm not walking with my eyes on Jesus. And I encourage anyone who is going through these kind of experiences to grab your partner and begin to pray and ask God to show you what he has in mind for you. He will. He will. Get into the Word and take those promises and read them every day. He'll encourage you. He'll build you up. He'll provide you with the outrageous in your life.
Ken Eldred, thanks for being our guest. Let's do it again.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson. I've enjoyed this.
Wise words of discernment for everyone tuned in to this edition of Family Talk. And you've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Ken Eldred over the past couple of days. And I hope you've been challenged to evaluate the position of God and family and career in your own life as a result of what you've heard in this discussion. You can learn more about Ken Eldred's story, his book, or his thriving organization simply by going to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then click onto the broadcast page. While you're online with us, be sure you also visit the Dobson Digital Library at dobsonlibrary.com. Now, this is a complete online collection of Dr. James Dobson's many years of work. We've cataloged his many writings and radio broadcasts into four main areas: marriage, faith, parenting, and culture. Now, if you'd like, you can also use the search bar to comb through our inventory to find what you need that way. Simply stop looking elsewhere for valuable resources that can benefit your family. Just go to DobsonLibrary.com and take advantage of Dr. James Dobson's many, many years of experience. Thanks so much for joining us today. And please remember that your financial support means so much to us. Listeners just like you, making contributions, allow us to continue to fight for the family each and every day. Tune in again tomorrow to hear a classic interview featuring Dr. James Dobson and Star Parker talking about the failures of the welfare system. That's coming up next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director at the Dobson Family Institute, wanting to remind you that our ministry is listener-supported. Your contributions allow us to continue the fight for families everywhere. You can partner with us by going to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or call us toll-free at 877-732-6825. That number again, 877-732-6825. This world needs a serious transformation of the heart. Your gift can help make a difference. Stand with us and fight for righteousness and culture.